everybody. Happy New Year and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. TJ Woodard is my guest today. He's going to be talking about reaching our full potential. And we'll be back with TJ right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers and you're on The Journey of Hope. Hey y'all, send me some mail. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Love to hear from you. Everybody and welcome back. My guest today is TJ Woodward. TJ is a spiritual author that is dedicated to helping people reach their highest potential. He has a book out called Conscious Being, Awakening to Your True Nature. And I think we got that right, right? That's right.
Yes, isn't it? That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Welcome, TJ Woodward. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much, Rodney, for having me on the show. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Great. Well, as is tradition here on The Journey of Hope, we always like for our guests to start off with a little bit of background. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to the spot that you're at now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my name is TJ Woodward. I'm the author of the book Conscious Being. I'm also in private practice as an awakening coach, really helping people to awaken to their true nature and their full potential. My story, I think, that has made me uniquely qualified, I guess, for this journey is I remember at a very, very early age feeling absolute presence, absolute connection, curiosity, and an awe for life. And then things happened in my life, and I started believing things, and I was taught things that contradicted that knowing, that sense of my true nature. And so I remember at a very early age shutting down and closing off. And throughout my life, it has really been a journey of me trying to grab outside of myself to fix the sense of brokenness inside. And in 2006, I had a profound spiritual awakening that allowed me to shift my way of being from an outside-in existence to an inside-out existence. And at that time, I dedicated my life and my work to helping others and assisting them in awakening to their true nature.
Okay. Well, at some point you decided to write a book about it. And how did you get to that point? What was that all about?
Well, I think not long after that, it became really clear to me that this would be my life's work. As a matter of fact, that inner knowing to write a book, to go into the ministry, to go into a profession of helping people with their mental health and coaching people, all that preceded that awakening. So it was really a divine idea that was alive in me preceding that experience. And once I had that experience, it opened me up to an absolute knowing that this was mine to do. So the idea for the book really came quite early. It came at that time. Now, actually, getting that book into manifestation took me quite a few years. I just published it this year, so you can see that it took many, many years for that to actually come to fruition, and it was quite a process in writing the book.
Okay, and when I read through your materials and I listen to you, I hear this term higher consciousness. What are we talking about when we talk about higher consciousness? What is that?
Well, when I refer to consciousness, I really talk about two different types of consciousness, if you will. There's ultimate consciousness. I call it consciousness with a capital C. And that is that changeless, eternal truth that we all are. It's that place that where we are all connected and we are all one. You could call that God or source or love or light, beingness, all the different words to describe that essential self, that essential nature. Now, another type of consciousness is human consciousness, or I would say consciousness with a small c, and that is that relative consciousness that changes based on our level of awareness. I write in my book, Conscious Being, about how we elevate or raise our consciousness to encompassing more or a greater reality. And that consciousness is something that can change over time as we open up to more and more possibilities in our life.
Okay. And I hear you talk about, by the way, TJ's got some cool videos on YouTube and of course free to check out. But,
thank you.
I hear you talking about, an awakening. And to me, it sounds a lot like self-actualization. Am I wrong there? Is it going towards the same thing?
You're absolutely correct. I use those terms interchangeably.
Okay. And can you describe for us what that means to get there? What does it mean to get there?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I would start by saying what my life was as I was asleep, you know, or unconscious, we could say. And that is, again, you know, a sense of brokenness, a sense of separation. I lived in a very dualistic world that was really taught to me. You know, it was all about mind-based reality. It was about us and them and right and wrong and good and bad. And I was really asleep to this divine nature that is at the core of each of us. And so because I believed there was something wrong here, I was trying to grab outside of myself to fix that through relationships, through drugs and alcohol really early in my life, all different types of addictions. And what I mean by addiction is anything that I'm using outside of myself to try to fix something that feels broken. So awakening, you know, I came into a spiritual practice and I believed that awakening would be getting rid of the ego completely. And my experience is very different now. Awakened living or living an awakened life to me now is simply waking up to the truth of who and what we are, which is one with that ultimate consciousness. And from there, we can witness life. We can become the ultimate observer of life. And so it's not that the ego or the mind needs to be removed, but simply we get to witness it and know that it's not the ultimate truth of who we are. So living in an awakened state simply means recognizing absolutely that I am that divine being and that each of us are that. And from there, we get to witness the other aspects of our nature.
Okay. And so how does striving to reach this awakening, how does that help someone deal with, say, an addiction? You mentioned drugs and alcohol, and you were able to get past all that. Tell us about how that works.
Yes, thank you. Part of the work that I do, I work very intimately with people coming out of an addiction. I'm the spiritual director of Foundation's Intensive Outpatient Treatment Program here in San Francisco. And I work with a lot of people in my private practice, too, with an addiction or coming out of an addiction. And, you know, the term addiction gets kind of thrown around and we all have a kind of a different way that we frame it. To me, an addiction is anything that I'm using outside of myself to try to correct something that's really an inner malady or an inner out of balanceness, we could say. So becoming awakened or living from this true nature has everything to do with awakening and moving out of an addiction, because we take the focus off of something outside of ourselves and begin to look at that from within, and again, living our life from the inside out. And another way to frame this is a lot of us feel or believe that spirituality or a spiritual awakening is something we need to strive toward or work toward or seek. And in my experience and in my working with clients for these many years that I have been, it really is more about unlearning than it is about learning. It really is about recognizing any obstacles that we have created, any beliefs, any stories that we have created that keeps us separate from knowing our essential self. So my work really is assisting people in recognizing the stories that keep them trapped in a particular way of being, and this sense of feeling broken. Because when people feel broken, and when I felt broken, of course I wanted to medicate that, because it was not, I couldn't tolerate that. And that's what I see with other people as well that I work with in my practice.
TJ, this is great stuff. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more with TJ Woodard right after this. My name is Rodney Mears, and you're on The Journey.
Well, I don't care much for cows and such, and line dancing looks like it really sucks, and I don't own a gun or want to freeze hunting deer. Can't stand the taste of that damn Lone Star beer.
Hey there, got a lot of great programs coming up this winter. We're all rested up for the new year. We've got some of the interviews already in the can, and that means they're ready to go, just waiting for me to put out there for you. And these are people that are either experts in their field or have had success stories, and they want to share these things, these ideas with you. And remember, you can always take a grain of truth out of everything that people want to present to you. Not all things are going to apply, but a lot do. And, you know, another thing is I'd like for you to tell people about the program that you think would benefit from the Journey of Hope, okay? This is not about, you know, we don't sell advertising time here. This is not about getting a bazillion listeners. This is about helping people. So if you know somebody that would benefit, tell them about the Journey of Hope. That's family and loved ones of people that are coming out of prison and incarceration. That's the incarcerated people that are on probation and parole, who can have access to computers and so forth. I want you to be successful as you leave prison, okay?
I stole those lyrics from Walsh, but stole the music from Tom T. Hall. Live in those sticks to like a country music mix. Ain't gotta live in no sticks to like country. A girl, I like the country.
And welcome back. We're speaking with TJ Woodward. He's got a book out called Conscious Being: Awakening to Your True Nature. TJ, we were just speaking about maybe it's more about unlearning things than it is learning new things. And so I'm just curious if you could give us some insight as to the process of you working with someone who, say, is trying to stay sober. What would be the process?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the first step, of course, which can be the most challenging one, is we've got to stop using whatever that substance is so that we can get to some of this. So, you know, that is something that, you know, I work with people that have just stopped using their drug or their alcohol or whatever it is they're addicted to. And then once that happens, then offering this framework, I think, is an important thing, because, you know, in a lot of the recovery movement and in a lot of therapies, certainly this framework is really different. So really offering someone the opportunity to recognize that essentially they are whole and perfect. And it can be really challenging for people that have been in an addiction. Often, not always, but often trauma is intricately linked to addiction. And that unresolved trauma really, you know, lives within our human consciousness. Another way to say it, or simply to say it, is when people feel that there is something wrong with them, it can take some time to begin to offer them this framework of what if you were whole and perfect underneath all of those beliefs and ideas and stories. And once we get there, then we can start to talk about those stories. I think that's an important part of it. But even more importantly, really do some experiential work where people can go back and look at the original times that they created these stories and how those were at one point brilliant strategies for survival, but now have become maladaptive and no longer serve. One process I use that I find to be incredibly powerful is something I call living in the question. This certainly isn't an original idea. I know a lot of therapies, a lot of coaches will help people by disengaging the mind, because the mind is always looking for an answer. So living in the question is an opportunity for us to open up to more possibilities. Simply said, nothing changes if nothing changes. So if I'm walking around believing the world is cruel and hostile, sure enough, I'm going to experience it that way. And even though that may sound overly simplistic, it really is those thoughts and beliefs and worldviews that we really have believed at such a deep level that create what we call reality. So this is a way to disengage the mind and to live in infinite potential rather than being stuck in our finite way of being.
Okay, and would the model of treatment of one addiction be the same as you would use for another addiction? I mean, is it the same?
For the work that I do, it's the same, Rodney, and that's because I'm really looking at addiction through the spiritual lens. So obviously people have also physical addictions, and they need to get medical attention for that. So by the time they come to me, whether they're in the intensive outpatient program or in my private practice, they have gone through the physical detox. And so in that way, even though, of course, each of us has a very unique experience, this process of unlearning, this process of identifying what those core false beliefs are and the practices that we use to disentangle from those is very similar, regardless of what the substance, or if it's gambling, or if it's sex or shopping, whatever that is. Internet addiction now is a big thing, love addiction. So maybe each person has a unique way they express the addiction, but at the core of it, what I find is, it's always stemming from some core false belief that we've picked up along the way. Something like, I don't deserve, I'm not good enough, there's something wrong with me. When we can get to that core false belief, we can begin to dismantle that. And again, this isn't about attaining anything. It's about us letting go of that egoic structure so that the light of and what we are shines through naturally.
Does it even go a step further, you know, trying to find what the unresolved issue is that is creating that frame of mind in someone? In other words, an experience, you mentioned the word trauma, but, you know, I'm thinking maybe people get a little messed up sometimes. It doesn't really have to be something that would cause, say, PTSD, but just something that happened to them sometime. I mean, you know, we're seeing people come out of prison that are having a hard time coping. I mean, it just forever stays an unresolved issue. So do you go Absolutely. Even deeper looking for what the unresolved issue is?
Yeah, thank you for that, Rodney. And there's a couple of different ways I can speak to that. I think a lot of traditional therapy can be incredibly useful. And when I say traditional, kind of the traditional model that we've used for many years, and that would be, let's identify what that trauma is. Some trauma therapy would want you to re-experience that. Some believe that you don't need to. I'm doing something which is slightly different. I recognize that all of that lives within us. And when we don't have it resolved, as you said so beautifully, it is in our subconscious or unconscious, and then it's running the show. You know, Carl Jung says that which is trapped in the unconscious runs our life, and we call it fate. Nothing changes until we bring it into conscious awareness. So in that way, it matters, and I want to be careful the way I say this, because it's important for people to, on one level, to be able to identify what that trauma is or what that event was that caused us to come down, you know, to these core decisions, which really are lies that we've believed. Even more important in the work that I do is simply recognizing that that's there, and then identifying ways to move beyond that. One way I frame that is the shortcut to living a peaceful life is living beyond our stories. So it's possible, and I'll say it that way, it's possible that one doesn't need to go re-experience the trauma, but more recognize that there is something there. There's a collection of stories, beliefs, and ideas that we picked up that at one time served us and now no longer help us, but they're keeping us restricted. So in that way, we may identify what the original event is, and we may not. It's more important to me to get down to those core false beliefs so that we can recognize the illusion of that and the lie that we've been telling ourselves for many years. Sometimes that lie came from a parent or a teacher or an abusive situation. Sometimes it comes from our individual experience. We make decisions about ourselves and the world that just aren't true.
Mm-hmm. Our perception can be a little bit different. Man, this is great stuff, and I really appreciate you being on the show. But before I let you go, I want you to tell me how we can get a hold of your book and find out more about you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Rodney. You can, the best way to reach me is tjwoodward.com. On that website, you can learn about how to purchase my book, Conscious Being, also my practice as an awakening coach and a spiritual counselor, and also helping people that have just come out of an addiction. I also am the host of Awakened Living Radio and Awakened Living TV. All of that's on my website. And then finally, we have a spiritual community in San Francisco called Awakened Living. And that is a community of people dedicated to this path of recognizing our inherent wholeness and perfection, and how we dismantle all those stories that keep us from experiencing that all the time.
Excellent. TJ Woodward, the book is called, the book is called Conscious Being, Awakening to Your True Nature. I had it in front of me, but I don't know what happened to it. It went away. TJ, I want to thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Thank you so much, Rodney. My pleasure. I love being in this conversation.
We're going to have another quick break, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. One more time, you can always catch me at MathersRodney@yahoo.com. How's your new year going? Sure would like to hear about it. Let me know your success story. Let me know any struggles that you may be having. Maybe that's something we could address here on the program. But you can always catch me at MathersRodney@yahoo.com, MathersRodney@yahoo.com. Special guest today, TJ Woodard, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.